And welcome once again to NaturalDocRadio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here today to talk to you about Dr. David Perlmutter and his new book. It's called Brainmaker. And you, for people who have possibly seen Dr. Perlmutter on PBS talking about brain health, then you know his name and you know how absolutely full of wonderful and important information Dr. Perlmutter is. He is a retired neurologist, and he is talking about the different ways that you can support your brain function. And he had his practice in Naples, Florida, previously focused on any number of different issues that could be originating in a dysfunctional immune system manifesting as allergies or different neurological diseases, MS, Parkinson's, and so on. He is absolutely full of great information from a natural perspective to allow your treatment, so to speak, to be natural, or to use his suggestions and his information as a support to the medical treatment you may be receiving. So what we're going to be talking about today is his newest book, which is called Brainmaker, and that joins two other books that he has, Grain Brain, and unfortunately the name of the other one does not come to my mind. But very important, because what Dr. Perlmutter has done is created a very well-researched and very understandable approach that gives you the information about how your immune system, your gastrointestinal system, the bacteria in your small intestine and colon have such a very important role to play in supporting the health of your immune system and the health of your brain. So if you think that we are these separate parts, and that's kind of what has happened in medical approach. If you have digestive issues, you see a gastroenterologist. If you have brain issues, then you see a neurologist. If you have kidney issues, you see a nephrologist. And if you have immune issues, there are infectious disease doctors. I mean, there are so many different ways that you are pulled apart, so to speak, and not necessarily treated as a whole person. Well, here's some information that is based on Mutter's work that pulls that all together. And let's just say that your cells communicate, and it is very well documented in any number of different studies and reported in the journals about how your cells communicate and how many different functions and activities go on within the cell, and then how those cells interchange those functions. It's, when you learn about it, it's mind-boggling. It's brain-boggling. And so, in addition to those cells communicating with one another, there is research showing that very much now there are your organs communicating with one another. Well, we know that your hormones communicate with one another, and I'm going to say we know that cholesterol plays such a significant role with regard to how your hormones communicate. And when your hormones communicate, there is then a follow-up communication with different organs. So the role that cholesterol plays is the hormones produced by your thyroid, by your ovaries, testes, by your pancreas, because insulin is a hormone, by your pituitary, by your thymus, all of those hormones being produced ride on cholesterol to be delivered to their destination. So cholesterol is the vehicle that moves the hormones around your body, an absolutely awesomely important function, an important function not only for your hormones, but for your brain. Very, very crucial. Remembering that your brain is primarily fatty tissue and you need that cholesterol as part of the overall circulation of neurons and ultimately the circulation of hormones. Now, when we see that there is such advanced and intricate communication, what Dr. Perlmutter goes on to say in his book, Brainmaker, is just astonishing. And it is information that is being currently researched now and involving so many different aspects of our bodies, you know, reviewing DNA, reviewing gastrointestinal health. Anyhow, Dr. Perlmutter goes on to say that there are patterns associated with changes in gut bacteria that are absolutely, undeniably connected with certain problems. There is a connection between a specific species of bacteria and the development of diabetes. And there's research going on in Amsterdam that when there is a change in that gut bacteria, minimizing the abnormal bacteria and providing the beneficial bacteria, changing the gut chemistry of the diabetic patient, the diabetes is reversed. Isn't that astonishing? That diabetes is potentially associated with your genetic history as well as your gut chemistry. So very important that people understand not only is your gut bacteria connected to the risk of developing diabetes, it's also involved in Alzheimer's, in MS, in any number of brain issues, Parkinson's disease. Very, very interesting how these bacteria also interact to such a significant degree that they have the potential for altering DNA and ultimately how your genetic history plays out and what are the genes that you pass on to your children and grandchildren. It's very interesting because there's Dr. Frank King, a chiropractor in Asheville, North Carolina, who talks about the genetic link. We know that diabetes is a familial disease, and so we think, well, if your parents have it, then you're very, very likely to be at greater risk for developing diabetes. But Dr. King has done research with regard to going back 3 and 4 generations with regard to assessing your risk of developing diabetes. So, very important that we understand the significance of maintaining a truly healthy gut bacteria. So, what we find out with Dr. Perlmutter's work is our moods are affected by the gut bacteria. So the more we maintain a proper ratio of what we would consider so-called good bacteria. Now, keep in mind that there has to be that ratio of bacteria that is qualified as negative, as well as positive. There is an interaction, a communication, if you will. This interaction producing the overall background chemistry in your gut that will reveal personality traits, perception. Okay, here's a good one. I always come back to the phrase, a gut feeling. Well, that gut feeling certainly does have a basis in reality, because the expression, the health, the interaction of the bacteria in your gut play a role with how your brain is going to work, how that less identifiable characteristic, your personality, your mood, your ability to feel satisfied and content. And the other part of it is your ability to achieve satiety, so that a certain amount of food, the chemistry is communicated to your brain that you're full, you don't need to eat anymore. Even if it tastes good, you'll just put it aside, and then maybe later on in the day you will have some more of that taste good food, but you're not going to overeat at one sitting. And so you think, okay, well, that has to do with my hunger. It has to do with your brain chemistry, and before that, it has to do with your gut chemistry. Okay, so what are some of the things, I recommend, and for sure what Dr. Perlmutter tells his patients and his readers? What do you want to focus on to support your very, very good health? You want to reduce inflammation, number one, because if you have inflammation in your digestive tract, the potential for pathogenic microorganisms, not necessarily those bacteria that we would consider in the benign category, have the potential to overgrow. So you want the right background chemistry, and that starts with a minimal inflammation. When you reduce inflammation, the spaces in between the cells lining the digestive tract are tightly closed. They are slightly movable to absorb nutrients, but for the most part, they remain intact. When there's inflammation, there's damage to those cells, and ultimately those cells separate, and there is the absorption of food into the bloodstream that is improper, and that continues the cycle of inflammation. What's a really great way to get started for not only supporting brain chemistry but reducing inflammation? Fish oil. And there are some absolutely fabulous quality fish oils available. And what you can do is make sure that you are using not only EPA, that's going to reduce the inflammation, but DHA, that's going to enhance the brain chemistry. So a very, very nice profile of EPA, DHA, and in my opinion, you probably will do best by using Alaskan salmon. Wild-caught Alaskan salmon, very, very high-quality EPA, DHA profile, and all of the different omega-3s that are so important for maintaining your proper essential fatty acid balance. Okay, so you have the fish oil. Then you want the probiotics. So there are so many high-quality probiotic formulas, and if there's someone listening who has issues possibly of headaches, low mood, insomnia, hormone disruption, or even gastrointestinal distress, my suggestion is move around through any number of different probiotics. And my opinion is that they don't have to be the huge 100 billion probiotic doses. You can start as low as 5 billion and see if that tends to make a difference in any of the different situations that you are attempting to correct. So if you are dealing with low mood, you're trying those different probiotic formulas, and I'd suggest at least a month of trial for each different one that you've decided to work on, then you possibly keep a little notation in a calendar about, ooh, my mood is better. I just feel happier. Not even happier. I just feel better. Okay, if you have gastrointestinal issues, you might try some of the different formulas that tend to be much more focused on relieving not only the gastrointestinal distress that may be associated with inflammation, but they're also going to be possibly changing how you digest, how you eliminate, and those would be the little characteristics that you'd keep a diary of. Then, of course, you very, very much want to provide the right background chemistry in your small intestine and colon, the chemistry that will allow the beneficial bacteria that you're taking on a regular basis to find a happy home. Colony forming units, those are calculations of how a particular dose of a probiotic will achieve adherence to the digestive system wall, and then it will have the right food, so to speak, to proliferate and establish itself as a healthy component within your digestive system. So, you know, we have known for years that fermented foods from indigenous cultures were very much an important component of establishing good health. So yogurt and kefir and sauerkraut. I tell people about the importance of sauerkraut, and I'll repeat it here. A few years ago, when we were concerned about the avian flu, I told people a tablespoon a day of organic sauerkraut will keep your immune system very well supported, so you are not a potential victim for avian flu. Well, here in the Midwest in the United States is a very, very significant outbreak of disease among poultry and to a certain extent among wild birds as well. And so what you want to be doing is some sort of fermented food, and it could be just that basic sauerkraut. It can be the Asian version of sauerkraut. Instead of the European version of sauerkraut, you go to the Asian version of kimchi. You might want to consider learning about kombucha and how very, very supportive overall that is for your good health, and very easy to access to achieve a difference in your gut chemistry. Then things like onions and garlic, high sulfur content and full of the components that are overall very important for your blood chemistry, that circulation to your gut and creating that background chemistry for those colony-forming units. So there are so many different foods out there that you can focus on that will be so supportive of creating that gut chemistry that transforms your brain. So I hope you've learned some really valuable hints to support your good health. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and you've been tuned to naturaldocradio.com. Be sure to visit often, because I'm here frequently with all kinds of good tips to support your good health. Bye-bye.